Welcome to Flipping Off, a purpose-driven podcast about flipping houses and making a difference. Hello, everybody. Hello, hello. Melina Boswell here, co-founder New Wealth Advisors Club. This podcast is a continuation from last time, which was us discussing the one word, our one word for 2019. So I asked the team, I said, guys, I just need you all to be honest about what words you're bouncing around with. So if you don't mind sharing, I'd actually like to hear the words that, you know, normally nobody wants to share their word. That's what's actually happening. If you listen to the last podcast about it, everybody is like hoarding their word. And I think that's because we don't want to be held accountable for it, right? I don't know what it is. Or we don't want to say it out loud. What is the, I don't know what it is. Anyway, so I know for me, I didn't share it out loud because I don't know why. I don't even have a good reason not to. So I'll start by sharing. I really had three words that I was toying around with that I really believe I've been toiling. And it is trust, believe, and faith. Those are my three words. So, and they're all very similar. And I think that they're relevant and, you know, pretty obvious based on where I am in my life. So why don't we just go around the table and that's what we're going to do. We're going to have everybody share whatever, however many words there are that you are wrestling with. Why don't you share what they are? Oscar.
Wow, that was a no-look
Nobody
pass.
Knows. Yeah, so you guys have to understand, you're listening to us on radio, right? But what I like to do is throw them off. So Oscar is sitting right next to me. So usually I look at somebody before I'm going to ask them to speak. And right now, I totally didn't. I just looked
total
straight
ahead. Total no-look pass.
Yeah, it was a no-look
pass.
The
Lakers could use you.
Thank you. Yep, you're welcome.
So I have four words that I'm...
Wow.
I think I've narrowed it down to one, really. But the four were intent, forge, create, and enable.
Wow.
So my dilemma, right, was that a few of those words popped up and came in and out through the process. And it's become clear that they're very similar, number one. And I felt like... So I've been listening to a lot of audibles, a lot of podcasts, a lot of things going on. And the one thing that really triggered it for me was the vision board night when we were putting these things together. And I'm not the guy that walks into those things because, number one, that's the first time I've ever done it, mm-hmm. right? And I'm not the guy that shows up and says, "Ooh, I have all these ideas, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do this." It's like, what am I feeling at the moment and what am I doing? So I sat in the bubble with Frank and we're going back and forth and I'm just started doing some searches, pulled up this car, this thing, this, that, the other, right? These vacation spots. And then I was like, man, that's like shallow, right?
So surface.
Like, eh.
Big deal.
Still nice. So they're sure. Part of it. And then it was like, man, what do I really want to do in life? What does that really look like? And so... what it led to was really understanding more so, it's more of a calling than anything else, right? Mm-hmm. So it became really clear that as difficult as it's going to be, the word is really enable. And it's because of a few things. And so I've been tossing it around this weekend and I was like, man, enable, why is it enable? What does enable mean? So then I get all, like...
cerebral.
Right. Brain power starts kicking in. So I was like, right. Dictionary, boom. Uh-huh. Enable. Bible, enable. So NLT version of the
uh-huh.
Bible.
Uh-huh.
Enable only came up in two verses. Mm. I was like, man, that didn't...
It's not a very holy word.
That didn't work out real well. So I was like, all right, so enable. What does enable mean, right? And that's... So then I got even more cerebral about it and it's like, okay, so what do I need to do to enable? Mm. It's like, okay, so I need to have the ability to empower.
Yeah.
Right. So all of a sudden I'm like, all right, cool. I need to empower.
Yeah.
But I also have to be able to nurture.
Yes.
And I was like, right. All right, now I'm working on an acronym, right? Because I have EN. I was like, well, in order to empower and nurture, well, I have to take action.
Oh, Lord. It is.
And I can't take
it's
action.
It's an acronym. Are you even kidding me?
No, I'm dead serious. So, and I can't even take action if I don't have the belief, right? And in order to do that, all those things, well, I have to be able to lead. Oh. And I can't lead if I'm not setting the example. Mm. Wow. Oh, yeah, crap. So what do I do with this, right? So I wrote it all down. And then when you were talking the last time, Tim, and you work through things and you're like, you know, there was love and there was this and there's that, and you were touching on the things that I talked about, and it was like, oh, shit. So then it just hit me that love was the first word. Mm-hmm. And if I love others the way I professed that I love others, then I have to be fearless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In order to be able to do the things that I need to do for the people that I love. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, I can't do any of that without the truth. Mm. And the truth is that I've not done a good job of empowering, nurturing, taking action, right? Firmly standing on my belief, leading, and then setting the example. So when I put all that together, it became like, wow, in order for me to get to this point where I'm at right now, I had to develop the love and become fearless enough to live in truth so that now I can go out and empower, nurture, take action, stand firm on my belief, lead, and set the example.
Wow. Wow. So, who's going to follow that crap? Like, dang.
It hits you.
Yeah, yeah. You can hear it.
I'm like nervous. I'm shaky.
Yeah, you can hear it in you.
Sweaty palms. Uh-huh. And so
yeah.
I don't know what it all means at the end.
Well, what it means is, first of all, you picked 5 words, which sucks.
No, I chose one. Enable. But in researching Enable,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Enable really encompasses those other 5 words.
It does. Absolutely it does. And of course, and it's so like you. You love acronyms. You are an acronym guy. Everything turns into an acronym.
I've bailed him out with acronyms.
Yeah. Oh,
him
I'm
being
sure.
Tim.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can totally see that because I can get that. Wow, that's great, Oscar. And you know, it's interesting that, originally when you said it's kind of like Christian's word of excellence, enable could have a completely different meaning. You know,
well, that was my struggle. It was like enable.
Obviously,
I'm not an enabler.
No, yeah, because right? It has like, yeah, like you enable somebody with a problem
right.
to be worse, not to be better.
And the nurture, right? It was like,
yeah,
nurturer,
right? Yeah,
that's what mom does,
right? Totally.
But then there's the definitions of nurture are there's different ones, mm-hmm. right? And obviously, the one that we're most familiar with is the motherly instincts mm-hmm. of nurturing the kids. But it also is educating.
Absolutely it is.
Care and feeding.
Right? Yes. Yes. So. Well, the idea, I mean, when I think of nurture, I think of the, you know, nature-nurture controversy, the conversation. That's where it always shows up for me. And that has nothing to do with what you're talking about, the mothering, nurturing. It is more about feeding, equipping.
Mm-hmm.
It's mm-hmm. really good.
And then empowering, obviously.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that's great. Really good. Thank you. So, all right. Frank, do you want to share a little bit about where you, first of all, do you have a few words that you're like tossing
multiple.
Around? Multiple. Like how many? Oh, wow.
That's a lot.
He has a list. He has a list on his phone that he's, okay. Are all
not
those?
That many.
Oh, okay.
There's the, so my process in picking the several different words were focused around the growth that I need to experience right now at this time in my life. And I think if I look back, you know, the words that I have chosen, like approachable and communication or communicate, I think those were important. They still remain important. I still need mm-hmm. to do those things, but in order for me to progress, I need to really identify what is keeping me guarded or what keeps me from communicating. And I think some of the words I came up with were peaceful, you know, having a peace about, you know, not just the journey I'm going through, but the things that I need to give up and the stuff that I need growth in, you know, like I have to have a peace about that, which I think I embrace that, like, pretty, I don't think that's stunning me. But for this year, the process, you know, there's peaceful. I had faithful on there. And one that's sticking out to me, especially right now, is restore. And I don't think it's going to be easy for me to pick those, but I'm leaning towards restore more than anything else. Because, you know, I've been a believer since I was a little kid, like since I was about 13. And I feel like, well, we all know, I mean, it seems like every trial and all the growth that we need to go through, it doesn't get easier. And we go through the same trials until we pass those tests and we grow and we get what God's trying to communicate to us about our character, where we need that growth. So I think right now, restore is really sticking out to me, because with that restoration comes all of those other things.
Right. Totally. That's really good. I just have a question for you. So, and this was going to be my question to Oscar, but I feel like he said it out loud, which was like, when he said enable, I was like, why not empower? That was the first thing that hit my heart. But then you said, why enable? So you were thinking the same thing. So my question for you, because the same thing came up for me, what's the difference for you between restore and redeem?
I think, like, as a believer, I am, you know, I'm redeemed. I mean, I've been redeemed since I gave my life to the Lord. So that's finished. That part is done. But through our life, we go through trials. Some of those trials are at our own hands. We put ourselves through those things, and it has to do with our walk with the Lord and our character, our communication with people, being honest with ourselves, which is the hardest thing to do and the hardest thing to admit when you're not being honest with yourself and you're not being open. And, you know, there's a lot, as a man and a husband and having children, there's a lot of, I got this. Mm-hmm. And think in that, I don't get to, that doesn't let me share when I'm struggling. So that's what sticks out to me the most. In order for me to do that, I need to be honest with my friends and any challenges I have, because I'm not put here to go through that alone. But.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. I totally got that. 100% got it. All right, Sito, you want to share? You can pull that microphone closer to you.
Yeah. I haven't really gone through it yet, but as we were talking from this last one and through this one, just hearing Oscar and Frank talk about it, the thing that's been coming up in my head, I was just listening to Stephen Furtick from Elevation Church talk. And one of the things that he says that he said in this message was, God doesn't change your circumstances, He changes your values. That's how He shows up. So, like, right now, Oscar talked about having, like, the nervousness come up, and I'm, like, values and value, having value and changing my values, because I feel like this year there's been a lot of changes, a lot of different things, and, like, I don't always see my worth or see my value. But I know in Christ, like, I'm perfect in His eyes, and there's so much power in that. But we don't, you know, we don't always see it that way. So,
do you find it easier to see for me, but not for you?
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. I feel like that always happens.
Yeah.
So, I feel like just in the last few months, for sure, God's been just working you know, working that in me and removing, like Frank says, there's stuff that we have to, you know, let go and grow out of. And the closer I get to Christ, the more value I see and the more he changes, like, just what I thought I wanted and what I thought I needed. So that's...
Wow.
Yeah. So that just came up. That one part of the message kept coming up in my head right now as you guys were talking.
Wow. Was that one of the words you were throwing around?
Yeah, because it's just been coming up in the last like probably 4 months now, just really been being in the Word and listening to worship, listening to just a bunch of different messages, and just trying to get closer and closer to God. That's one of the biggest things that keeps coming up.
I'm going to show you something that I wrote yesterday down. I wrote it yesterday in my quiet time. I just want to show it to you right now, Kevin, because I feel like it's for you. So it's kind of a funny thing how God is. Let me show you what I wrote. Can you see what I have written here in underlined?
Chase him. Yeah.
Chase him. That's what I wrote. I wrote chase him. This was in just yesterday during worship, actually. I heard him. I know this. I know that, I actually wrote down this question about, I heard in my spirit, am I chasing him? Like, I need to chase you.
Right.
Because you have to work hard at your relationship with God. And I actually wrote down, it's hard to be in relationship with you, God. It's not like any other relationship. And then I got pricked. That's not true.
Right.
All relationships are very hard. Like, if my number one goal is to do nothing but serve you more than you serve me,
right,
but you're doing the same thing, that is true relationship, right? That's the relationship that God has with us. His whole goal is to, you can't outgive God.
Right.
Yeah. So why am I not chasing him? Like, he longs to be chased. That is we're made in his image. So if we long to be chased, why would we think he doesn't long to be chased? Right. So I think that word was for you. You know, I just want you to know, chase him. And that's what I heard you saying. I long to be closer. I long to be more like him. I long, continue to chase him.
Yeah.
That's the word for you. So that's great. That's great. And I love value. Such a big word. Ooh, big words coming out. Big words coming out.
Your turn.
My turn.
Kevin passed the mic, said, oh, it's enough for me, man. Hey, Christian.
I cannot follow up with these guys.
It's all right. You know, you haven't had enough pain yet, baby. Yeah. Don't sweat it.
So I wanted to ask you a question because I feel like maybe even I'm struggling with this. It's like, and maybe people that are listening to this podcast are dealing with the same thing. As a believer, I want the Lord to pick my word, and I know that there's certain words that I would want for, you know, 2019.
Yeah.
And I know from reading the book, they were saying maybe the first couple of years you can pick the word, and God is still going to use it. Like, he's still going to literally pick it and, you know, show up in that way. So I feel like even my first year excellence, I really do feel like the Lord chose that word.
Well, he taught you through it, didn't he?
Yeah.
He taught you. Because maybe even what you thought was excellence was something different. Because look at how it showed up for you.
Yeah.
Right? He taught you through it. You know, you would have never thought that part of excellence was seeing an empty water bottle on the ground and picking it up. I am certain when you chose the word excellence, that isn't what you were thinking. Right.
Yeah.
So he uses all things. Remember that. All things.
Yeah. So the last podcast when Tim was sharing, his word last year was discipline.
Mm-hmm.
That's a word that's been stirring up in me. Discipline. And last night I was praying for my word, and a word that came into my mind that was like totally like a curveball was grounded. And
ooh-wee.
I feel like this whole conversation of, for me, I just want to get closer to the Lord too. Mm. And I feel when things are good, and I know this is for like a lot of people, we forget to do like little things like prayer and, you know, we just get so consumed in life and the busyness of it. Sometimes it's hard to slow down and just stay grounded. And then discipline comes back because it goes, I feel like hand in hand, where I don't want to make prayer like a duty or, you know, trying to even chase that relationship with him, but, you know, be disciplined in knowing, you know, certain things that I have to do, you know, each day. And
let me tell you something. Spiritual discipline is very real. It's a real thing. It's actually the most difficult discipline, I believe, there is to conquer. I don't think you ever conquer it. I think that chasing the Lord and laboring, co-laboring with him is absolutely the most difficult discipline there is. And to be honest, I think that it's like if you want to challenge yourself, see if you can sit in complete silence with nothing but prayer for 5 whole minutes. You won't be able to. You just won't. Almost guaranteed you won't. That is a discipline that is created. It is not natural. So give yourself, you know that that's the truth for everybody. And not everybody, like, maybe, I don't know. I know in my spiritual journey, I've had great teachers. I've had, you know, great discipleship. But I've also not had the opportunity to be discipled by a person of God, like a very godly man who was honest about his failings. Like maybe, you know, honest from the pulpit of, like stuff that doesn't matter. I cut somebody off on the freeway. Oh, I'm a sinner. Okay, whatever. Like that's not real sin that anybody that's going to affect anyone. Right. But I've learned now that real, strong, courageous people of God are completely honest and transparent with their struggles. And a struggle for me is to stay in a prayer for 1 whole minute and not have my mind wander. Mm. And I consider myself a mature believer. Mm. Right. And I will put that up against any other pastor who's up on the pulpit who claims to whatever. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, why doesn't anybody just say that? That's the truth. It's a discipline that you have to learn. Mm. And what happens is that when you enter into that discipline, then you get a taste. You get this sweet, wonderful taste of the real richness of the Lord. And when you get that for real and not just masked up and looking pretty, then you never want to stop chasing it. But we're so human, we forget.
Right.
Like, that's the truth. Mm-hmm. Like, I've had those moments, yeah. And then I swear to you, 2 days later, I forget.
Right.
Like, that is the humanness. That is the human condition. So know that.
Mm.
So I think both of those words are...
Yeah. So I'll let you know the outcome. And what you were saying, it brought me back to when I first even like got in the club and I was 17, 18, 19. And that's the time my faith was growing and stretching a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And even though my bank account wasn't full, I was like super fulfilled because I was so close to the Lord. And I like that's...
Yeah.
That's like everything else doesn't matter, you know, at that point. So,
like, let me tell you, if like what you just said, there are grown adult people who have been striving their entire life to achieve some sort of financial position or some amount of money in their bank account, because what they think, especially for men, I know this is true, there's some number that they think that they're going to get in their bank account. Maybe they don't know the number. Maybe it's a car, maybe it's a watch, maybe it's a house, maybe it's whatever. And they believe once they achieve that, that then they'll be fulfilled. And it is a lie. It is a 100% lie. So the truth is no amount of money will give you the grounding. And the reality is that with real wealth comes what? What comes with it, Christian?
Responsibility.
That's right, responsibility. And it's not just to make sure that the poor are fed. It's not just to make sure that the widows are taken care of. No, real responsibility is not forgetting where you come from to stay
grounded.
So
I think I passed you guys up. Maybe I'm in a race with you guys.
in terms of depth.
No, yeah.
Oh yeah, right on, buddy.
That was a good follow up.
That was a great follow up. Give me some. Bam. I agree.
Hi, this is Christian Rios. As many of you know, I have been a member of New Wealth Advisors Club for over 7 years and got started when I was 17 years old with absolutely no real estate experience. One of the biggest lessons I have learned from being in the industry is the need for authentic relationships. If you're looking for an actual team locally in Southern California with all the resources needed to close deals, register for one of our free workshops by visiting www.joinnwac.com. Thanks for listening to the Flippin' Off podcast.
Bam. I agree. So that's awesome. Thank you. It's fantastic. How about you, sir, Mr. Tim Wilkinson? Where are you? You got a couple words? Do you have 2 words, 3 words? Hey, do you not have any words?
I've been kicking around different ideas. You know, I'm getting ready to embark on a whole new chapter. You know, I'm getting ready to be married. I've never been married before. And so that's been on my mind a lot when I've been doing this conversation, like the whole one word, you know, for the next year. I'm like, you know, I intentionally, you know, one of the reasons why we chose December 31st is because I felt like.
You wanted the tax write-off. Just admit it.
I like the tax write-off. And the 31st, to me, it feels like a really good line in the sand between, like, this year and next year and that Tim and this Tim. And
wow.
You know, so the word new has been there, but I can't wrap my mind around what that means yet. Like, I don't know what that means. So that's one of the words that I've been kicking around. But I also tend to get very cerebral, which I am, even just about the word new, right? So the other word, and there's two of them that kind of mean the same thing, and it's relinquish and conduit for some reason.
Wow.
Because I feel like I tend to, like I overthink things, right? And I could sit here in this whole 27 minutes of podcast, and I found myself not listening to all of what Oscar said or all of what Frank said because I was thinking about what I was going to say right now. And the truth and the truth is, if I just relinquish that and just let myself be, you know, I tend to come out all right. If I just get out of the way and
tell me about conduit.
To me, conduit is more of a, you know, conduit is something that it carries, you know, right? I mean, it doesn't really inherently do anything except for be the pathway for whatever else, right? So conduit in electrical is like, it doesn't do anything except for protect the cable that's going through it. But it doesn't carry any electricity. It doesn't carry anything, really.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting when I hear you sharing, like knowing you. I think that so you tend to make meaning out of everything.
Right.
So, right. And so I'm hearing you trying to shift making meaning to everything. That's what these words are. That's what I feel like is happening with you. You know, so you have you're looking at something new.
Right.
And to be conduit and to relinquish. All of those are the opposite of connecting meaning.
Right. Like I'm trying to get out of the way of that. I'm trying to not connect meaning. I'm trying to just let I just want to be the conduit. I don't care if
120 volts runs through me or 220 volts runs through me. I just want to be the conduit that allows that to happen, if that makes sense.
Yeah, makes perfect sense. It's great.
And I don't want to overthink it. I want, you know, when I get up on stage or I'm getting ready to teach, I want to just let whatever has to come out, come out. Mm-hmm. Whatever is there to deliver gets delivered without me putting meaning to it or trying to have some sort of control of what it is. And that's the relinquish part, I think. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, I'm kicking that around. And as I think through it, I mean, even in the new conversation, new is probably not the word, but inside of the new relationship and the new future, I feel like the ability to just stay out of the way and allow that relationship to happen without trying to make it into something that maybe it's not supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Yeah. So I think for me, the questions I would start asking are, and I think Frank hit it on the head when he talked about why don't I communicate? Right. So why do I need to control everything? What is that actually related to?
Right.
That's where I think you need to go a little bit deeper to start asking your question. Why do I feel the need to control everything?
Right.
Because I feel blah. Right. Because the truth is at the root of that is something. And whatever that is, I think is that's what it is. But it's all definitely related to the new Tim, maybe the transformed, maybe the, you know, something like that. I don't know.
Well, the truth is I don't know. I think I'm very clear that I tend to I don't know what that looks like. I've never been married. I don't know what Tim looks like in that situation. I don't know what Tim looks like on January 1st after getting married on the 31st. I don't know what that guy looks like.
Probably hungover.
Probably. But I don't know what he's supposed – I think the key is that I don't know what he's supposed to look like.
Right.
And I don't want to – and I feel very convicted, if you will. I just know that I don't want to put any kind of – I don't want to put the old Tim on that Tim.
So what do you have to do?
Get out of the way.
So what's the proactive? You said get out of the way. What's the proactive word of that?
Be a conduit. I don't know.
Is it just be?
That's be.
Just be.
Okay, I got it. So there's conduit, be. Just be. And that's really where I'm at. That's the word then.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I can't even wait because I can't wait until you're like overanalyzing everything and I'm going to say, Tim, just be.
Right.
Right? So if like who is Tim on January 1st? Just be Tim.
Right. That's essentially what I've been trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been overthinking it.
That's awesome. All right. Well, I don't know. So I shared with you what my three words were, and I don't know if I should get into the process that I'm going through or what each word means to me. I don't know if I need to do that right now.
So I think there's – I know you're struggling with it, right, whether you should or shouldn't. And I think if we approach things from the aspect of – if you are struggling with it, then there's obviously others, as we went around this room already, that struggle with it.
Yeah.
So any insight that people can receive on what that journey could possibly look like for them, there's value in those words, right? So, like, for example, for me in my journey, my always struggle, right, like always, is this about me or is this about others?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Am I making it about me, or is this really about everyone else? And so when the word comes up, I'm like, is it because I'm trying to enable myself to do the other things, or is it because I'm going to enable others to do things?
Right.
So that's my back and forth all the time. And it isn't until little things show up, right? Like the conversation you just had with Tim, for example.
Right.
The clarity that came upon him, physically you could see it in him.
Like, yeah.
Oh, and when you ask the question, I'm sitting here like trying to send you the word, right?
Like, right. Everybody was, like, right? Everybody got
just
the word.
Just be, dude.
Look at, right. Everybody got it. They're all looking like, dude, be. It's just a bee. It's bee.
It's so small.
So I think the...
No, it's huge. I know. Ginormous. Right.
For the overthinker, it's a two-letter word.
Absolutely. Right. It's, yeah.
So...
Relinquish sounds so much bigger.
Yeah, I know. That's not your word.
It's rather diminishing. So, yeah. So anyways, from that perspective, right, the journey that each of us goes through, we face different challenges. So I think it's cool if we could share those things, then people are going to get something from each one of us.
Yeah.
In that aspect, right? So I don't know if that helps you to decide or not.
Yeah. But well, obviously, my whole goal is to serve people. So I'll share a little bit. So I said my first words were trust, believe, and faith. And they're all very similar, obviously, right? And I felt like my faith is pretty strong. It's a lot of what I just said to Kevin earlier, which is, you know, trust. I was actually texting with Frank yesterday. We were talking about this, and I was sharing with him what my struggle was. And I really came down to trust and believe and how similar those two words are. And so which one? And so I said, I feel like trust is more cerebral, right? It's more based on concrete fact. So I always take it back to, okay, so do I trust, you know, do I trust God? And I do. I don't need to worry about that. For me, belief is more of a feeling, you know, it's more of a, so it's like what I said to you, like, I trust God 100%. I trust his word is the truth, right? I have all these things that I know to be absolutely truth, which is why, my faith, I don't think is really the question. So, but do I believe it for me? So.
And there it is.
Yeah. Yeah, because belief is so, it's kind of lofty. Do you know what I mean? Like, everybody teases me that I have Jesus goggles on, which is, and sometimes it's meant as a, you know, a little bit of a slam, I think. Because I see things the way, and people, you put your Jesus goggles on so that you can see the situation through the eyes of Jesus. And it infers a little bit of lofty thinking, a little bit of like la-la land thinking. But I don't take it offensively at all. I know if I'm like, if my Jesus goggles are on straight, dude, I am set. So I don't ever want to take those off because I believe, I trust the word of God because my Jesus goggles aren't lofty. They are based 100% in fact. For me, and I trust that. But believing feels like such a lofty word to me. Like, you know, does that make sense? What I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When we were texting, we're talking about that, and I'd sent you kind of a long thing. My own issue with seeing it for you, because you're a better person. You don't know
better the Christian.
Sin and darkness in my heart. You don't have this.
Right.
Right.
Totally, yeah.
So then the trust and belief for me in that process is believing and receiving that's for me. That's where I took it to, where I go, okay, now I believe it, and I'm willing to share that message with others, but I also have to receive it for myself so that I could walk in that for me, not just... If he'll have to perform, it's like, you know, how much did I believe, Lord? Did I believe enough? Yeah. And, you know, it's a mustard seed that he's looking for, period. So that mustard seed, you just receive the promise. So for me, that's the transition where I started owning the fact that I'm, you know, a saint, or that God has entrusted me, that I've been chosen, that he died for me on the cross, not just him, not just Melina, not an Oscar, because they're special.
Right.
You know, we're all the same. Mm-hmm. And that is the part for me where in reading that book, Call to Reign, that whole process of going, I'm totally not sitting in the right chair. You know, I'm totally looking at everything that I do and being critical and judging myself and feeling like I'm not good enough. And I'm not. And right. nobody is. That's why.
Hallelujah.
So that, for yeah. me, was what helped me with that.
Well, it's interesting. So this morning I was in my prayer room and I was studying. And so my grandson, Davey, little Davey, is 8 years old. And so I said to him today, hey, by the way, when you come home from school today, I'm going to have a book for you to read with me. And it's called The One Word. And I'm going to have my 8-year-old grandson do this with me. And so he said, The One Word. And I said, yeah. And he said, and I said, I'm stuck between a couple words. He said, what words? And I said, either trust or believe. And he goes, believe.
Boom.
That really happened. So I started laughing and I go, wow. And I have my Bible open and I said, let me come over here. Let me show you my Bible. And I said, do you know what a concordance is? So it was really funny. So I showed him, I had my concordance open to believe because I thought, okay, so for those of you that are struggling, this is part of my process. I opened up my concordance, which has all the words that are in the Bible, and I opened up believe. And I was sharing this with Davey. I go, look it, let me show you. I was at believe, and so I was explaining to him how you use it, right? You can however many times the word believe shows up in the Bible, and you can turn to that scripture, and then you can see. So I said, look it, for example, the first one that came up was in Genesis 15. So I was showing him, you know, this is my way to take a teaching moment. And I go, it's in Genesis 15:6 is what it says. So let's see what it says. So I opened up my Bible to Genesis 15:6, and look what's highlighted.
It's already highlighted?
It's already highlighted. I go, oh, wow, how about that? So who can read it? Because I can't read it. I think I know what it says. It says about Abraham, right? Abraham believed.
Abraham believed the Lord. And he credited it to him as righteousness.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, Abraham believed the Lord, right? And it was credited to him as righteousness. And righteousness is just a right way of thinking. It doesn't really matter. But the truth is, you go back to that story, that's the story where, you know, God told Abraham to sacrifice his own son. And so, bottom line, Abraham believed. And so that's what was already highlighted when my grandson told me this morning, and then I feel like it's been confirmed. So there you go. I'm saying it publicly. My word is believe. There you go. So I don't know what I'm believing for. I mean, I just know that what's going to happen in 2019 is I will be challenged to believe.
I feel like this conversation can go on for a long time, but it made me... Your conversation is totally reminding me of a couple things. I was having a conversation with Carla earlier this week sometime, and it makes me think of you. You talk about the 13 or 18 inch.
Journey.
The journey of 18 inches, right?
The 18 inch journey between your heart and your mind.
Between your mind and your heart. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in the conversation I was having with Carla, you know, you said that truth is more cerebral. It's yes. more cerebral, and belief seems to be more heart. And the conversation I was having with Carla was that, you know, the distance between head and heart is only 18 inches, but what's between there is the liar on your shoulder.
You know? That's so good. Liar on your shoulder.
And but the other part of the conversation was that on the other shoulder – There's the other voice. It just doesn't speak quite as loud. It's that the still small voice, you know. But it's on the other shoulder. You just have to listen for it.
That's good.
It doesn't talk as loud as the liar, though.
No. No, he doesn't, because he's a gentleman.
Right.
And in between, by the way, is probably the most deceitful of all. Mm-hmm. That's yourself. Mm-hmm. That's the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, driving in, I was like, man, I need to listen to something. So I opened up my UVerse Bible app, and I left it on Matthew 24, where Jesus talks about the future. Mm-hmm. And normally when you hit play and for the voice, it reads on to the next chapter, and then it goes on to the next chapter. So the whole drive down here, it never went to the next chapter.
It kept repeating?
No. So I was like, well, that's weird. So I would go back to 24, play it again, because now I'm troubleshooting, right? Why isn't it going? Go back. So I listened to chapter 24 like 6 or 7 times. I was like, this has to continue. Never did.
God's a funny God. I love him.
So then I'm listening to it, and I'm like, man, so then I really got into it.
Yeah.
So the first 3 or 4 times, I was like, what's going on? The rest, it was like, no, wait, let me rehear this. Mm-hmm. Right? Let me re-listen to this. And there was tidbits that I was missing, and then it all came clear, and it was like, so what I got from it was, and it took me back to the vision board night, right? Because there's really only 2 words on my vision board, and that's kingdom builders. Mm-hmm. That's it, nothing else. Mm-hmm. And so it talks about preparation in Matthew 24. It talks about preparation, and preparation in the sense of being who you're supposed to be in Christ, because his word will outlive and outlast all of us. Right? Mm-hmm. It will continue. The world will disappear. Everything will go away. But his word, his truth will always remain. And then he talks about how the angels are going to come down and grab people, his chosen ones, mm-hmm. right? So now I'm like, man. And then it took me right back to enable, right? Because enable isn't, I need to enable people. I need to enable them to see that light, to receive that word, right? To understand the gospel. So so this whole journey this weekend was like, man. And then it just like the replay and the replay and the replay. And it just became so, so clear that, right? And then the tie-in back to the vision board, because, you know, the vision board was like, I'm just going to put some things together. This is going to happen.
You got to go through the, this is the cool. process. Yeah.
And under the word, the 2 words, there's 7 seedlings. Mm-hmm. And there's a little marker next to each seedling. And mm-hmm. it says church.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So anyhow.
That's great. I appreciate that. I just want to tell you, I don't know if you, I'm sure you don't know this, but earlier in 2018, there was a prophetic word spoken over me that I'm a builder. So anyway, all right, well, that being said, I don't know what all that means, but stay tuned. I can tell the podcast is headed in a different direction, thanks to God. So for now, NWAC is New Wealth, and we are flipping off. I'm Melina Boswell, your host of the Flippin' Off podcast. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did, we'd love for you to subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, and tell your friends all about us. You can find more episodes of the Flippin' Off podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever else you like to listen to awesome podcasts like this. If you like what you've heard, we'd really appreciate it if you'd follow us on Facebook and Instagram and tell us the stories that you'd like to hear. Tim Jackson is our senior producer. Luke Jackson is our editor. Brothers. Josh Maldin is our producer. Sound design by Frequency Factory. Our executive producer is Mind and Mill. This was all created by Dave Boswell for New Wealth Advisors Club.